Kia ora, tā alofa, hi, and welcome to another episode of Tanarumanga's Team Talk, proudly sponsored by Victual, New Zealand's first health and wellbeing supplement range that combines ancient Māori and Pacifica wisdom and ingredients. And my guest tonight, she signed a semi-professional contract with the Northern Mystics in 2010 while still at college at the age of 17. She was nominated as Best Young Player in the 2011-2012 season while playing for the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, and she was selected for the Silver Ferns in the same season, making her debut against England. She also captained the New Zealand under-21 netball team that year as an 18-year-old, and she was part of the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic team that won a premiership in 2012. She became a mother to twins, Devita and Teresa, in 2013, and I like this, she represented Samoa in rugby sevens in 2015, so she stepped away there. But she came back and she's had playing stints with the Northern Stars, Southern Steel, and also with the Central Pulse, where she won her second premiership in 2019. In 2020, she moved home to Auckland, signing with the Auckland Mystics, and she captained them to win her third premiership in 2021. The first time an Auckland team has won in New Zealand franchise netball's 23-year history. She capped that year off winning the top prize at the 2021 New Zealand Netball Awards, taking home the Dame Lois Muir Supreme Award for the best netballer across all competitions. And this year, she recently went on to tour to England at the start of this year with the Silver Ferns and played many tests where she actually came back with COVID, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But also she's an ambassador for Canteen, and she started a family building business with her partner, Andrew, named Grey Building Limited. Welcome, Sulu Tone Fitzpatrick. It's a huge honour to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I know there's a bit in there. That's what we're going to talk about. You've probably got an idea where we're going to go with this.
I'm happy. You take the lead.
such an achievement. And, you know, if we look back all the way back there and at 17, what was it like, you know, signing, you're still in college. It's you know, I'm not going to say it's a long time ago, but it's a little way back. What was it like back then, knowing that you'd signed a contract, you know, and you hadn't even left school yet?
To be honest, I had no idea really how big it was. I think if it wasn't for Mum, I wouldn't have been, I don't even think I would have turned up to the right trainings or anything like that. I was just like enjoying the moment. It was nice having some actual money of my own, and it came in and went right back out. I honestly had no clue. I definitely didn't really understand what high performance athlete was. And I was just living the dream, but also didn't really understand how blessed I was to be in that position. Looking back, it's a very long time ago, but it also actually gives me a lot of compassion and understanding for some of the young ones now coming through and understanding where they're at. If I can think back to where I am, I always think twice when I want to get angry or react to some things that they do, and I remember that they are just kids.
And I suppose that's a great thing too, now that you're the captain, you know, of the Auckland Mystics, and you generally do have young people, you know, young ones coming through. You know, what's your first piece of advice that you'd give them when they turn up?
Something that I've learned is it's not all about you. Very early on, I was so consumed with just doing what I wanted to do and not realizing how much work my parents, so my mum and dad had to put in. I didn't have my license, so they were driving me to trainings. They were waiting for 3 hours in the car and then taking me, you know, especially when I was at Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, my mum was doing the commuting, and I just assumed that was her job. I had no consideration for what it meant for my parents, and understanding as well how many people wish they were in my position. I was just living the dream and just expecting that that's how it was supposed to go. And I ended up learning my lesson the hard way.
But I think that's pretty in general, eh, as teenagers. I've got teenage kids, and like even today, you know, my daughters were telling, oh, can you just go get my wallet? I left it at this, you know, at the doctor's. Can you go get it? What about he just walked
as if you don't have a life. Yeah, exactly. Your life revolves around the kids.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, it's but we do what we do for our parents, and you've seen it so much, especially, you know, up here with Pacific Isle of Māori, you know, the parents driving the children to training, and then they sit in the car, you know, and they're just so passionate about watching them. Eh? I think that's all part of it. And well, it's probably a little bit different than, you know, driving all the way down to Hamilton to take your daughter to training, no? But it's what they do.
Poor mum. And, yeah, like when I think back to everything that they were doing for me, yeah, definitely have a lot of gratitude, especially when you become a parent, of how much how and that it's a shared experience. Like when you're an athlete, it's not just you, it's your family that are in it as well. And I've learned that now as a parent, that netball, it's not just me, it's actually the kids and Andrew that are experiencing it as well as my parents. So you learn that it's not all about you.
In terms of, like, so, you know, you've achieved that, you come out of school, and now you're a silver fern. What was that like too? And because because that adds to it. Like you're saying you're young, you're a teenager, virtually are. And then now you're in the best team in the country. Now, how was that feeling?
It was such a whirlwind. I remember I was just living the dream playing with Casey Kopua. She was then Casey Williams, and she was the best defender in the world. So being able to just learn from her, I was just soaking it up every training, having the best netball coach in the world, Nolene Taurua, at the Magic. And then Laura Langman, one of the best captains in the world. So having all that greatness and being surrounded by it, same with Irene van Dijk, it was a whirlwind. It was quite surreal. And I was just riding the bus, to be honest. They carried us. Those big names and big hearts carried all of us right through. Nolene, she's so smart. She knows how to put a team together, but she also knows how to bring out the best in everyone. So I really enjoyed that year. And it's a whirlwind, probably because I was asleep in the car every time I was going to training, because mum was driving back and forth to Tauranga and Te Awamutu and Hamilton every week. And I was also trying to do uni at the same time, not very well. So looking back, yeah, it was a huge whirlwind, and I did not see it coming.
But obviously you deserved it. And, you know, I suppose you look back, you know, you've had, like you said, you've got some great people that have been teaching you. And then, you know, obviously Dame Nolene, that it is now, you know, and, again, now she's your coach with the Silver Ferns. Now she knew who you were, and so she would have seen the differences in terms of, you know, when you were 18 to now, you know, when you're not much older, and, you know, seeing the changes you'd made.
Yeah, I laugh so much when I think about it, because I have some vivid memories of playing Magic, and Laura always reminds me, there's this one time when we were doing a netball drill and I kicked the netball. And that's one thing you do not do. And I kicked it, and I was thinking it would just dribble, but it ended up going right from our court, three courts down, hit the basketball hoop, and it was just awkward silence. And Nolene just looked at me and was like, "You're acting just like a teenager. Don't do that." And then I answered back in the moment, and I go, "I am a teenager." it's funny to me, because I think back to where I was at maturity wise and how much I had learned from all those players, both directly and indirectly, just from being surrounded by them and being surrounded with so much knowledge from Knowles and everyone there. I guess that's one of the good cool things as well about being a younger player. You're just soaking it in, all the knowledge around you, and just learning all the time.
And it just makes me laugh too, because, you know, as you said earlier, you know, what's the piece of advice? It's not about you. So it's just, you know, when you see these young girls come forward now in terms of where you're at now, it must be, look, put your arm around them. I've been there. Trust me.
Exactly. Especially when some of them are trying to do too much. I remember what it was like thinking that you can do everything that you want and not having the perspective or understanding that it's better to do less rather than trying to do everything. But I do think that just comes with learning, and we also got to accept that they need to do that themselves and allow them to have make those mistakes rather than always being on their case and wielding a stick over them. So that's something learning as we go.
Yeah, not everyone learns with the sticker, that skill of understanding what works for someone and what works for someone else, is totally different. Mm. So you've been a few teams.
It's the joke of the whole premiership. Everyone mocks me that when am I going to wear the red dress, because then I'll make it six from six. So I've made a promise that I will retire before I ever touch that dress.
Oh, at least they know. But when I was doing a bit of research, you were the only Aucklander down in Dunedin when you were with the Southern Steeler. That's quite common now, isn't it? Because there's only so many teams you can play for. A bit like with the rugby, you've got to go where the opportunity lies, and that's the reality. What was it like? Knowing that I've got to leave home to, to get game time or and things like that. How was that?
It was definitely out of my comfort zone, because I was so reliant on my parents and family and siblings, and so used to just being a homebody and having everything easy, to be honest. But I do think it was needed. And so I believe that that needed to happen at that stage of my life, because I was so, to be honest, just selfish so used to just be living in my comfort zone in Auckland, whatever worked for me, working around me. So going there, I was put in a place where I didn't know that many people. I didn't have the comforts of my parents or family always there to go home to. And so that was really testing. I struggled mentally down there because I hadn't got to that place where I decided to make the most of the opportunity. So I did enjoy my time down there. I went down there with Phoenix, my friend Fee, who's now with me at Mystics. So that was cool to experience that with her. She probably made the most of the opportunity. I went and I ended up getting pregnant. So she went on to actually play in the New Zealand 21 side that year. Mm. And they ended up winning. And at that time I was about, 6 or 7 months pregnant. So I watch from home. So different experiences, but I guess it's just everyone's story looks a bit different.
Oh, that's right. And it's what you make of those circumstances too. Like you were pregnant with twins, which is no mean feat in itself. And your ability, to come back and bounce back, as you are now. I'm sure that would have been some testing times, and you would have learned a lot about yourself during that stage. What was that like, becoming a mother at such a young age?
Very, very tough. Mm. More so because there was nowhere to hide anymore, because when you have children, life changes and, children are the priority. Mm. But I was always so selfish and always thinking about what was good for me. So that was actually really hard to transition into. And because it wasn't a choice, it was not planned. That also meant that because I wasn't ready for it, that a lot of responsibility went on my parents and my siblings. Mm. And so I made that choice for them, and they didn't get a say. So it ended up that we all raised the kids together. So I strongly believe a village raised my children. And I'm really grateful to them, because they supported me so I could get on my feet and be ready to be a better mum for them. But it wasn't easy, and I was not a great mum to begin with. But it's something I've learned over time, and I'm very, very grateful for my family's support through probably took a good 2 years to really settle into motherhood. Mm. And I guess because I had made my whole life revolved around me and netball, when that's taken away, it was quite challenging.
Yeah, look, I say you're a relatively young age. I can't talk. You know, my wife and I had our first son when we were 20. So it does, at that age, you know, you're still, you know, my kids now.
Yeah.
Exactly, having kids. And it totally resonates with me when you say all of a sudden you're looking after yourself and, you know, you're just having a bit of fun. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you've got this other mouth to feed, and then you've got to, oh, yeah, I want to do this. Hold on. Actually, I can't because I've got to go home. And, you know, that is a humbling feeling when you do that, especially at a young age, eh? And sometimes you do. So, you know, you kind of sometimes look back and say, oh, you know, did I make a mistake? And then look, it is, you know, because it's not as if you planned it, but it's something that you need to own up to and say, well, you know, this is what we're going to do now. And I think, for me, as well as yourself, you know, it teaches you, like, exactly as you're saying, says, geez, it's not all about me. Why can't it be about me? Yeah. Why can't it be about me anymore? But I just think it's great too that, you know, we see it so much, you know, young men, especially in the rugby scene, you know, they're kind of wavering, you know, between, you know, doing what's right and then just, oh yeah, I'm just going to dabble over here in the gray area.
Yes.
You know, and then all of a sudden, oh shucks, you know, oh, I'm going to be a dad, and then and you know it's going to turn for some, a lot of them, maybe because they have to realize, I'm going to knuckle down, there's an opportunity that I have now in terms of sport, and that could give us a leg up, you know, my kids and my family, you know, a helping hand in the future. So I need to make the most of it. And, you know, would you say that was kind of the transition for you? Was that the kind of the catalyst for a bit of change, you know, in your career?
Yeah, 100%. But it didn't come straight away. I'd say it was a slow transition. As I was dealing with my own stuff going on and trying to figure out how to get myself right so I could be better for them. So that's why I really know that if it wasn't for my parents and siblings, I wouldn't have got to that space. My kids are our kids, and I will always say that. And I know that I'll never take away that. That's why I'll never move too far away from my parents, because I know the bond that they have with my kids because we raised them. And so that's really important to me. And I do know that, that learning, I guess it's different for different people. And I guess it's not always just if you have kids. Sometimes when we come into professional sport and you're not ready for it, it's hard to drop those habits, or it's hard to be professional or elite, and that's something that you learn over time. So it took me, if I'm being honest, probably 8 years to really genuinely be an elite athlete. And it took me a few years to be a good mum. So that's something that you learn over time, but I guess it's just a matter of what are you willing to prioritise and what type, kind of person do you want to be? So it got to the point where I knew that it wasn't good enough, not just for me, but more importantly for the kids and for my family. So I'm really grateful that they supported me to get to that space.
Oh, geez, you've got a great family. You've got a great family. I just want to slip in here. Samoa, representing Samoa in rugby sevens. How'd that come about?
Oh, my sugar. So this was in this transition phase. I didn't really know what was going on. I was a bit lost about what I was with or without netball and who I was now as a mother. And so I was just a bit unsure and not, just trying to figure things out and really trying to work from the inside out. And within that, I was a bit lost. So I just thought I'd give it a go. One of my friends, good friends, Hayley, told me, let's go do it. And I thought, okay, why not? And so tried it, and I will hand on heart say I will never do it again. I'll leave rugby to my sister. I should have known that, one, I don't like mud. Two, I also don't like hurting people. And three, I also don't like getting hurt. So it was a recipe for disaster. And I think every time I played a game, I injured something. because I just was not made for that sport. So I definitely learned my lesson. But I am proud and happy that I experienced it. And now I don't have to be sitting on the couch thinking that, oh, I can do that when I'm watching my sister play. And I know how hard it is. It's way harder than it looks. And so I have a lot of respect for those women that are playing. And I was also proud to be able to represent Samoa, our homeland. So that's the taking from it, but I will not be doing that ever again.
And was that about the time? So when did you get the malu? You know, the traditional tattoo on your legs there. When did you get that?
So that was the following year. So in 2017, when I really started peeling back the layers of just my own stuff and figuring out that I need to prioritize my faith. So that became really important. So that year I ended up getting baptized, and I knew that that was where it needed to start. And then after that, I was really trying to work hard to be better within my family. I knew how many times I'd let people down, and I really wanted to connect. And I spoke with my nana and mom and family and decided that we would do that over in Samoa. So that was spiritual. It was a really spiritual and emotional experience. I had mum there, and it was a way to connect as well, Papa, my late Papa. So that year was a lot of transformation, but it had been building up to that for years. And so sometimes those hard choices, or when you're in that weird space, when you can get past that or make that decision, that's where the change comes. So that's where it began. And so it's still work in progress, still learning along the way, but that year was really important.
Well, it's always a learning. That's the key thing. As you get mature, you realize you never stop learning, and things change, and you learn to adapt. But I take my hat off to you, because I could either get a bea or get a makai. And I said, oh no, I'm going. I'll go for the makai. I'll go over and get that. And I'll leave the bea for your Uncle Mina. And still waiting for him to get it.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have a lot of respect for all those in the Malofia family, especially those men, because you have to be ready for it, and both spiritually, everything, emotionally, mentally, because it's not easy, and it comes with a lot of responsibility.
So now you've got this, the Malu, and as you said, it was a real emotional, spiritual journey for yourself in terms of transformation, Now you've went to the Central Pulse, you know, my hometown of Wellington. So you obviously try to go to warmer climates from Dunedin slowly, but you've just realised, oh, there's the southerly in Wellington. You just can't discount now. How did you find your time in Wellington?
I honestly loved Wellington. And I think because of where it was in my journey in life, it lined up. So because I was becoming a better mother, I was making the decision of doing my best in netball rather than just wasting people's time and just going through the motions. And mentally, I was 100% committed to being the best I could be, both as a netballer and as a mother. And so that meant that making that choice was a sacrifice and an investment. Because I was commuting to and from Wellington and having more time away from the kids. But I knew that if I was going to be away from them, that I was going to make the most of it for them and make sure that it made me better for them. And so I have so much love for Wellington. I really love the kaupapa Māori that they had in that team when I was there for those 2 years with the Te Wānanga Ōraukawa. I also am still close with those girls today. So I'm very close with those girls. Wellington is a place I actually love. If I wasn't to live in Auckland, I would take the kids and Andrew to Wellington. So I actually have so much love for Wellie. Despite the winters and the wind, I will always love that place. And also the food was great as well.
Whereabouts did you stay in Wellington?
Miramar and Kilbirnie. So close to the airport, it meant that I could train whenever we had trainings. I was there training, and then I could hop on the plane or get off the plane and go to training. So it worked really well in terms of being able to, and because it was only an hour flight, it was easy in terms of being able to get back and forth to the kids. So it was tough, but so worth it.
Mm. I noted down something I saw in one of your quotes in terms of when you're with Central Pulse, and it's something that I believe in too. Like, you said that I'm the mouth of the defensive unit and she's the legs regarding Katrina Rure, Nee Grant. She does all the running around. And this is something that I say to young players, and it says that defensively, you can talk your way out of anything. If you're just loud enough, they'll think people are there, and then they won't come, then you won't make tackles. is that the same mindset as yourself?
Yes, efficiency.
Yes.
I guess as a parent, you actually learn that how to do things. You know, when you have little time or little resources with the kids, you learn to just do things smartly, not the hard way. So from the back, I know that I can see everything. So I do my best to use my mouth to not just helps me get into the game, but also to connect the D end. And I do think that comms is really important, not just in sport, but I guess in anything, because if you can connect with those around you, it often helps you all be on the same page and you're not wondering what's going on in people's head so I found that approach has helped me. Sometimes I need to hush my mouth when I get into little discussions with umpires, all friendly discussions, of course. But I'm learning that communicating is actually a strength. And as you know, as a Samoan, we are good communicators, but sometimes we feel that we hold ourselves back because we're unsure if it's our place. But I think that we read the game and we know the game and see it in such a different way. So we have a lot of knowledge to give. And so I'm learning to just give it. And people can take it or leave it.
But you're right. You know, in terms of, normally, multi-Pacific players that I've come across, that trying to get them to speak and understand that we're not a team of mind readers. So, for us to, like you said, move efficiently or do what's best for each other, we just need to open our mouths and don't be fearful of making a mistake. I think that's, as you know, like everyone doesn't want to be seen to be, again, probably something on the other side of our bodies was, we mock hard when, which, can be done in a fun way, but also can be quite scathing, So it's just understanding and as you said, communicating to everyone to there's a place, a time and place for everything, yet we need, for us to be at our best, we need to be able to talk to each other. And, in the heat of battle, I need to know what you're thinking because I can't guess here, especially at your level.
Yeah, and that's definitely something I've learned as well as international, that you need to be able to have those hard or performance conversations in the moment because there's not enough time between plays that you just need to get it out and also know that it's going to be received well, but also that someone can comms to you and you're not going to take it in any way other than they're helping you. And so that's what we try really hard to do in trainings as well. It's a work in progress, but we're learning to just do it in training and have those open conversations there so that in the game it's not a surprise or it's not a why did she say that to me? I'm not listening to her or who does she think she is? But we're learning that we're actually doing it out of love and it's coming from a place of love because we want to help each other be better. So that's the focus, and we're working to move forward and get some of our girls like Peta, who's also Pacific, but she is so smart. She sees the game three plays ahead, but often she doesn't speak much in team meeting environments or settings, but she's learning to share it because it's gold. What she can share with us, it helps like she is coaching me as a defender. So we're learning that to make sure that people realize it's a strength.
And like you say, she's such a Petatoi Ava is from watching, you know, she's one of those creators, isn't she? Mm. You know, got the flair, no look passes, and you know, and you've got some tall timber in the shooting circle that she feeds. So it's, I'm sure that helps. But like you say, it's exciting, and the ability to make sure that again, you know, when you're feeding back, you can just if it doesn't work, I was thinking to the left. What were you thinking? To the right. We've just got to get on the same page there. And now, you know, you've moved back to Auckland, obviously, and I thought that was, you know, when I went through this, it's, you know, you signed with the Auckland Mystics, but this is your third premiership that you've been a part of. And, you know, obviously a big one, you know, in terms of being back in Auckland. It's the first time they've won, you know, anything, an Auckland team. How satisfying was that, you know, being your first team in 2010 and leaving and then coming back?
It was a relief. So tired at the end of it. But I think because there was so much invested into it, knowing, and it wasn't just the 12 of us that were the 12 original players. There were so many people that came in over the season to help us. So players that came in over the season to get us through. And then on top of that, so many different people. So we had a team chaplain, a sports chaplain that supported us. We had so many different people that helped us along the way. I was getting advice from Laura Langman, who used to be the Silver Ferns captain, over the season, just on her learnings through the season. And we were also really motivated by the late Marg Forsyth and what she had done for us the year before. So there was so much riding on it, and years of Auckland teams having so much talent and so much flair and everything that they had built for us to get in that position, and knowing that we really wanted to make sure that we did it not just for us but also for them, for like Maria, Timmy, Otimepara, Catherine. And so they were also supporting us from afar throughout the journey. And so it was a relief. Slept well that night. There wasn't that much partying. We were just exhausted, but so grateful and so proud as an Auckland franchise to do that.
We all know from the earth, goodness grows. Victual, New Zealand's own health and wellbeing supplement range with native and Pacific ingredients. Visit victual.co.nz and take your first step to help your goodness grow. I know what you mean. I was just, as soon as you said relief, I just thought back to when last year, you know, with the Blues, they won the Trans-Tasman. And I was exactly the same. It was when you've been trying for so long and you've been through, you know, a few hiccups and things like that. There wasn't a lot of excitement. It was just relief. And I was a bit like yourself. I just remember after the game, you know, you're in a changing room, and we went to McDonald's down there on Balmoral Road, got a sundae, and that was it with my family. And just, this is awesome. You know, we just went home, and I think I did sleep. I slept well. But it's funny when you're so invested in something and you give, especially as a leader, like yourself, and you have to lead that from the front. You know, is that your style of leadership? You know, you know, where you have those that can lead by the communicating, telling people what to do, or the ones that, you know, obviously don't say a lot, but just follow me. I'll show you which way to go. You know, and for me, it sounds like you can do a bit of both, because you've both got in terms of the communication, but also the ability to lead with your actions.
It's definitely something I've learned from people that I've observed over the years, and also understanding people. And I guess because I've had such a roller coaster of a journey, and my journey has not been pretty, not just off the court but also on the court, it hasn't been smooth sailing. But I think that has meant that I have a bit of compassion for people, and I understand that people are at different stages in their life. So not to be so hard, or not to be so black and white on expectations of people, and understanding that if I can help, or if I can love on them or help them be better, that that will probably help performance as well. So, and also remembering as a mum that it's just netball. My kids remind me all the time that they're at the game, but they're busy eating the hot chips, or they're off at the back getting their faces painted, or they remember the silly things, but not the netball. And so they're a reminder that, yes, netball's important, but it's important because of the connections you make, and it's important because of what you the platform you have to inspire people. It's important because you get to be part of a team and, you know, strive for the same goal. And that's why it's important, as opposed to just the score. So that's definitely something I've learned over time, and also learned that at the end of the day, people are just people, and they just want to be accepted, and people just want to be a part of something. And so I always want to make sure that I'm a person that is that for other people, because I would want that for myself. And I also have a really good vice captain, Mickey, who is 100% going to be a future Civil Friends captain. And so we balance out each other well, and it's always nice to delegate. So we've learned that it's good that everyone has a role. So that some of the girls, we use some of the young girls, they lead the social side. Some girls lead the admin side, so that everyone gets to lead in their own way, dependent on their own strengths. So we're not getting people that don't like to speak leading team meetings. They might be leading in other ways. So making sure that we utilize everyone's strengths.
You mentioned there leading the social side. I know how important is it, you know, because you are a mother and you've got things outside of the team, how important is for, you know, social usually means, oh yeah, we're going to a bar, or we're going to go to a restaurant, or we're going to, you know. And I've had been a part of teams where players, no, I don't do that, I'm going home. You know, as leaders, you know, how important it is for you to make sure that, you know, or do you go, or is it just something that, you know, I'm going to, you know, that's for you guys, I've got to go home. Once training's finished, I'm out.
I think when it comes down to it, you think, like, you know, when times are really tough on that court, when it's down to the wire, the pressure's on, you've got, it's a draw. What kind of do you want to back your mate up? And you're probably more inclined to do that if you like your mate, and probably more inclined if you're close with your friend. And so that's the way I see it in terms of in a team. So if you enjoy being with them, doing things outside of the sport, if you're making the time in for each other, and you both know that you support each other and actually care about each other's lives, you're probably more inclined when it comes down to it to put your body on the line for each other, or to take that one more step into the ball, even if they throw a bad pass, or to back them up if they go, that you're going to cover them instead of just worrying about yourself. And so I think those invisible threads are really important in a team. So some teams can work well even if they don't like each other, but I think that's a bit miserable, and I'd rather enjoy it, and I think it's more satisfying when you do it together.
How do the players deal with losing at Bananagram to you then? That's all I've kind of seen on you.
Oh, okay. So I'd say the three most competitive people in our team are Peta, Toyava, Whamuyane, and me. And so that's where we take it out on each other, since we can't do it on the court. We do it in Bananagram. But it's also actually really good for stimulating the mind before a game. So we're learning new words, we're enjoying it, we're mocking each other, and we're having fun. And fun is always important, especially for us Pacific people. Actually for anyone, but the way I see it is, especially Whamu and Peter, they play better when they're having fun. And so that's where their flair comes out. That's where they have the freedom to let ball go, where they back themselves and fly for intercepts. So it's all fun.
Do you have to have a thesaurus or a dictionary? Because you said you learn new words, but are you sure they're new words or just made up ones?
So all of us players, including Michaela and Taylor, so we all have made a rule that we cross-check with each other, and we all got to agree that it counts as a word.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heated debates, especially when Gigi plays, Grace, because she's quite articulate, and so she makes the rules quite tight. So it's good fun. And I recommend it to rugby boys as well. I think it'll be good. Then they can use some of the words for their interviews.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's just, from what I've seen, it's always just cards, you know. And
cards is good.
Yeah, but I think, you know, having them think too much, you know, might drain some of the some energy.
Well, mind you, you guys are like in rugby, you guys are hitting each other hard, so you probably need all the energy you can get. We got a bit more space and time.
Well, mind you, in saying that, I'm sure that non-contact sport sure looks like there's contact in it.
I'm enjoying it more, actually, because I think it means that some of us where strength is, or power is a strength, it means we can use that side of the game. And I actually think it's actually transformed the game and brought it to a new level. Obviously, as long as it's with skill and making sure that it's clean, I do think it's added a new element to the sport, and it means that the game has changed, and also helps defence as well. So we don't have to be so nice to the shooters.
Well, I suppose that's a good point in terms of, you know, the changes. You've been in the game a long time now, and obviously now, like you said, there is a little bit of contact. You know, what other changes do you think have come into the game that have made it better?
I think focus on conditioning has been huge in netball. I think the shift into professional has meant that there's so many more resources available to us in terms of having basics like nutritionists, SNC, all those things that before might not have been such a big priority. And it also means that we can invest more time into it because we're semi-professional. We're able to spend more of the day, whereas back in the day they didn't get paid enough, so they had to work full time and still train and play. Whereas we have a little bit more luxury of being able to focus on getting our bodies right to play, and so I think that has shifted the game. There's definitely a lot more strategic focus on. You might not always have the same seven, so depending on who your opposition is strategically subbing during the quarter, whereas traditionally you don't in netball you keep the same line on for the whole quarter, whereas Nolene is big on you are on for as long as you're making impact, and then when the energy needs to change you might come off, and it's not that you're doing bad, it just might be that someone else might be better for that moment in time. And so that's starting to happen as well in the domestic league, where coaches changing earlier than they might have used to, depending on what their streaks are and what the opposition are doing.
You've noticed that a lot. I think I was just watching a game in the weekend where, as you said, there's a lot more changes during the thirds, or the quarters, sorry. I've never really noticed before. You know, I thought, she being dragged, or
it also might be because some of us might want a breather.
Well, so might be giddy. They did mention that obviously with COVID, just making sure that they're looking after the players because of all the stop start nature of the seasons at the moment, and obviously with your experiences with COVID, how's that going now, and also how's it affecting not just yourself, but the teams and the competition?
I think it's very tough. I guess because, like all sports are experiencing, when your body is your tool of the trade, it makes it harder because you don't have that luxury of recovering, where you might go to a job where that's not so strenuous. Whereas when your job is pushing to those higher limits or high intensity, that's where it's quite hard to balance that recovery with getting to game fitness again or getting match fit. So that's something we're learning in real time, I guess, because they've never experienced that before. And also when you have a condensed season anyway, that makes it quite tough on teams. And so I don't think there's been a round this season for us that hasn't been impacted by COVID for some team, which means that in some ways it's a blessing for the young ones coming through because they're getting opportunities that they might not have had before. So seeing that as a blessing, but it's also some learnings for a lot of players of making sure that the health is the priority first before playing. And that's hard, especially when you're very competitive and you just want to play, and understanding that sometimes the sacrifice now is going to pay off in the bigger picture. And so we're learning as we go. I'm still trying to rebuild my base. It took me 3 years to get fit, and and it took me 3 months to lose it. So I'm building it again, but as we go, and I think that'll be a lot of players and teams. But they're looking after us really well, and they're making sure that the priority is players' health first, which is really important.
Oh, totally. And so, you know, you won, you know, this Supreme Award, the Dame Lois Muir Supreme Award at the end of last year. How was that, you know, when you think back of the roads that you've travelled? You know, it's come, you won a premiership, now you've won the Supreme Award. How did that feel? Is probably what I'm asking.
I thought it was a mistake. So when she rang me, Kerry, I asked her 3 times during the conversation, because I didn't really hear what else she had said. I just heard the initial one, and I said, wait, this is Sulu. Are you sure you're talking to me? So it was quite surreal. And even when I hung up, I didn't sink in. And I told Mum, and still hadn't sunk in. And to be honest, even when I went into studio, it still didn't feel real. And it was more because, I know I'm not the most talented netball player. Like, I know that for a fact. And so it felt quite strange to me. But then after when it had happened, then I realized that it wasn't like it was the village that got that award. And so it made me really reflect on, man, like it's been one ugly ride, but look at us now. So playing in 5 teams because you can't keep your spot, and then, you know, getting dropped after 1 test, all those different things along the way, having kids, being in and out. But then yet that our village was able to get there, it made me realise, man, like anything is possible, but also thinking like how that testimony can inspire people to realise that it's not about where you are right now. Like, you might not be in the best place right now, or things might not be going your way, but you literally don't know what could happen, and the power of people. And I truly believe that the power of the people. There were thousands of people that got us to that place last year. And so very, very grateful. But yes, when people say it, I correct them and say I'm not the best netball player, but I have the best people. And I do believe that's what got us there.
Oh, that's awesome. Acknowledging your family who, you know, as you keep saying, have been a big part of you getting to where you are. And as we all know, the support structures around definitely make the successes of individuals. And sometimes, you know, it's the winning and losing of actually taking those opportunities. And it's just beautiful to hear that. And now, so, you know, during this time, you know, your lovely partner, Andrew, but I usually say that about wives, but Andrew is a good man. And now, so you've started a family business. And, you know, this is what we talk about, because obviously you've done the hard graft in terms of sport. And now you've started a family business with Andrew and Grey Building Limited. You know, he's just finished his time not long ago, and he's branched out off on his own. And as we know, you're never alone. So how's that going? How did that all, you know, come about?
Andrew had been wanting to do it for a long time, but I am not a risk taker. So I actually held him back and said, you know, you've got wages, like play it safe. You've got steady income. We've got a family, you know, COVID's going on. Like, is it the right time? And so I held him back for a couple of years, which I feel bad about, but I guess things happen for a reason. And so he decided, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm doing it. And so he decided to move forward with starting it. So we're figuring out names. So we decided Grey Builders Limited, and he went all in. And I really admire him because we're opposites in that he's not afraid to say no to people, which I really struggle with, but he's also not afraid to back himself. He's a risk taker. And that's so far from my personality. I would rather play it safe and hold, make sure you've got a backup plan. But he's a risk taker. And that's something that I've learned from him over the last few years, especially, is he's helped me with that in netball as well. And so that's something that I witnessed with him with his business. And when I saw him doing it, and I still was unsure, I was like, are you sure? And I was constantly questioning him as he was getting into it and beginning it. And then I decided, you know what, like, if are you going to be the person that's holding him back from what his dreams or what he believes in, or are you going to support him? And so that it wasn't easy, but we got to that space. And so we decided, okay, let's do this. And I guess in this industry as well, the timing's right because there's an influx of work, huge influx of work. But he's very brave because I would not be able to do it. And he just, he's able to communicate with people really well in the industry. And he's able to put his put himself out there and back himself. And so that's worked really well in the business. We've learned now that to separate, because I don't know anything about building, which he constantly reminds me of. He said, you might be the boss at netball, but I'm the boss here, so know your place. And so I've learned to humble myself and just let him take the lead. I'm just there when he wants me to do admin stuff, like help with invoices or do things on the laptop. But other than that, he takes the lead, and that works well. And I also think that works well for our relationship and life at home. To make sure there's that clear separation and also clear roles of in a business, because I think that's also something we've learned, because it was a bit blurred before where I tried to have input and decisions on work that he was taking or on how much workers or how many workers he was going to take on, and we realized that it got too messy. So we've learned to have really clear roles, and then that's what it is for work, and then home is home. So it actually has made our relationship really, we were laughing the other day saying that, man, this, we always thought netball was going to be the thing that separated us, but we thought, oh, this business might actually be the end of us. But we've learned now to be smart around that and to be really clear on the roles. It has probably been a big learning.
Jeez. I think you've taken a bigger step than I have, in terms of getting those roles. And he, like you said, he must be very brave to tell you just cut, because I haven't got to that stage yet with my life. Yeah, whatever, dear. Yeah, okay.
Well, women sometimes know best, but I think in building that's his strength, and and that's what he also reminded me of, was he said, you need to practice what you preach, because if you're talking about that in netball in terms of people knowing their strengths and doing what's best for the group, then you need to know what's best for this business is that you stay on the computer. So I've learned that that's what I do, and that's fine.
Oh, nice. And I suppose that's the other side too. It's just understanding those skills that you've learnt in sport too. What are you able to transfer from there into your business life?
Definitely, people skills is huge. So that's something that I've learnt in netball, and understanding that, yes, you might be right, but if people don't believe in you or people aren't buying into what you want to do, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you can connect with people, and then you can get everyone on the same page. So that's definitely something I've learned, and something that where I can help Andrew, because he can come across as quite quite blunt or to the point.
Yes.
He doesn't think before he speaks. So he's learning that, and so that's something that I'm also helping with him with. Or sometimes if that those sort of conversations need to happen, then I'll do it or I'll take the lead in that space. Also with the business as well, I think backing yourself is something huge. So that's something that Andrew actually helped me with in netball, but also that I've been able to transfer into our business, is just believing in yourself, because no one else is going to be, you know, no one else is going to be putting your business out there. No one else is going to be making those contacts or going out and asking for work. You've got to do that. And if you can't even believe in yourself, then why the heck would anyone give you the work? So that's something that it's not comfortable, but definitely have learned. And it's very important for business.
Oh, you're so right in terms of, you know, you've got to back yourself to the hilt. Otherwise, you know, why would anyone else believe in you if you can't even do that? And, you know, you mentioned that get comfortable with the uncomfortable. I think that's been a common theme throughout. You know, we're so comfortable in the sports arena that when you go into business, we think it's totally different and out. But actually, when you do step into it and take the risk, you realize actually it's kind of similar. You know, I can kind of sense what I was doing in sport, I can transfer across here. And what about the thinking of, you know, how important is it, you know, to make sure that you're aligning yourself with a life outside of netball? You know, we've talked before around people waiting till after sport, whereas, you know, now we know that it's actually you're in the prime position right now as the captain of the Mystics, you know, being a silver fern, to actually network and make these contacts, isn't it, as you talked about? And, you know, how important is it to make sure that that players of any sport take advantage of those opportunities right now?
What's really good is they're in sport now, they're working really hard to make sure that the PRMs, so the player reps or the people looking after players are making sure that they are looking at what else you can do at the same time as doing sport as opposed to waiting till the other end of the career. And so I think that's really important, not just for, I guess, financially, but also it's good mentally because so many people either might get injured or you might get dropped or not selected. And if you have nothing else, for myself, you go into crisis mode or you feel like, what else am I? Whereas it's really good mentally to be doing something else and realizing that your life isn't just sport or you aren't just a netball player or a rugby player. You're a person first and foremost. And so what else are your strengths? And it also actually makes you play better anyway when you have something else, when you're not fully consumed with just sport and just or always worried about that everything revolves around that. It's actually really healthy. That's something I've learned anyway as being a mum, is that it can't be all about sport. You've got no choice. So I truly believe that people need to make sure that just for their own health and mental well-being, that you've got something other than sport. And it actually becomes an advantage and it actually becomes a strength to have to be doing other things as well. So I took many, many years to do a degree, but I'm really grateful for that because it actually helped me to think about things in different ways as well. In sport, because you think of everything from a sporting lens, whereas when you're doing other things like work or study or courses, you can you're meeting new people, you're seeing things from a different lens, you're hearing different perspectives, and sometimes that actually supports your performance. So that's also something that I've learned.
You mentioned well-being and obviously, you know, with your health, you know, with your sport, what are your key go-tos in terms of that, you know, your health, obviously, your training, but then that mental well-being you talked about, that's probably something else. You know, where do you get time for yourself and what do you do? What's your go-to there?
Church is really important to me, or even if it's online, I know that for myself, I know everyone's different, but for myself, my faith is really important because that's where I ground myself in our values. And so that's really important for me. And I know that I don't feel good when sometimes sport can take you away from your values or can you forget about that. So it's good for me to stay reminded of who am I first before I'm on that court. And what kind of person do I want to be on that court? So faith is really important. Family is also important. And I'm now is a bit more mature. I understand what a blessing it is to have family, and not everyone has that support system. And so making sure that I really treasure that time and make time to in the past I would have missed a birthday or missed a get together because I haven't got time or I've got other things to do, but really prioritizing family time, that's also really important. And you know, no one loves you like family. There's people that are around when things are going well, and you know, I know that at the moment things are going well in sport, but I know that, you know, in 2 years I'll be a has-been and no one will remember that, but family will still be there. So I know that that's really important. And also exercise. So I know with COVID, when I couldn't do things, but also when I did my knee, I realized how much I relied on training, network training, to actually make my mind feel better. And so finding different ways to get that, I don't know if it's endorphins or what the word is, but to get that, it clears the mind, and you just feel good. So I know that after netball that I'm gonna have to be doing something, even if it's just walking or playing at the park with the kids, but that's really important to clear the mind and have some physical and mental well-being.
Well, you're so right, and the habits that you create as a professional sports person has to transfer once it finishes as well. You know, those lessons that we learn, because you know, we're going to be around a lot longer to be around for our children once the sport's finished. And, you know, you've got to keep those habits up. And I think that's probably something that, you know, a lot of our people haven't done, you know, in the past. And, you know, there's been some sad results out of it. And what does the future hold, Sulu?
Oh, sure. Because everything going on at the moment is a bit of chaos. I'm living day to day. So I actually don't even know who we're playing next week, because I can't think that far ahead. I'm living day to day. All I know is I got to do the kids tomorrow morning for school, and I got training in the afternoon, and then got to figure out what we're doing for dinner. But it's actually, the COVID situation's actually made me really embrace living in the moment. I'm a person that naturally worries and always is thinking about what's happening next week or next month, as opposed to just being here right now. So that's where I see COVID as a blessing, because being more present. And so that's been really important for life at home and family, but it's also helps in sport as well, because you just take things moment by moment, and playing what's right there and not thinking about what's going to happen next or worrying. And that's also with the business, just taking it day by day, accepting that this is where we are right now, and doing the hard work and trusting that things will come into fruition as we do the work.
And last question, what advice do you have for, you know, up and coming sports people?
Biggest thing is really get to know yourself. So it took me a long time to really know myself, but also get to accept yourself as well, and understand that you accept yourself for the good and the bad. So I've learned to embrace those things now and not be so embarrassed about the things that might come across as flaws or things like that. And so I'm able to express it, and I'm not scared for people to see that side of me. Whereas I think sometimes we just want people to see the perfect side and want people to think that we're all good and we're the best person in the world and we're always, you know, we're always good. But whereas I've learned to just be myself, and the team sees it as well. They have this joke now about when they see that look in my eyes or when I'm acting a certain way, that, oh, watch out for mummy, she hasn't had a good day. But that's okay. And so we're really working hard in our team to let everyone just be themselves, good and bad. When you're able to express yourself, it means that you're being real, but also means you're not holding it inside and bottling it up. And often sometimes that's where people struggle silently. So really making sure that you are able to express that, but also people feel safe to do that. And also, I guess, for any sports people that are wanting to make it, is know your strengths, and really back yourself in those strengths. It's not saying don't work on things that aren't so good, but knowing your strengths is really important, because that's your point of difference. That's what's going to get you there. And really hone in on that and make that your trademark, make that what you bring to the party, and then work on those. And other people can help you with the things that you need to work on.
Oh, that's such great advice. And I think that's also an element of your team knowing who you are when they see that other twinkle.
The
angry side come out. Sulu Tone Fitzpatrick, I just want to thank you so much for your time and your honesty. That was awesome. And wish you all the best for your upcoming games and for the rest of the season as well. Fte lava.
Fte lava. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out Victual's website at www.victual.co.nz so you can rebalance your lifestyle with ancient wisdom and ingredients.